Good morning. How are we all doing? Amazing time of praise and worship and worshiping the King. Touching heaven, touching earth. Getting excited about the King and what He's all about. And so first of all, before I start to preach, I'm going to give a little bit of feedback. So last week, Bridget and I had the privilege to go minister at Liberty Church in Kanata, just outside Ottawa, and this morning we have Prince and his wife Anne. I think she's taking the kids. Prince and Anne are part of that congregation, and they've been in vacation in Toronto, and so they headed home and thought they'd just pop in and say hi. So say hi to them and before they leave us, and great couple, and we had a wonderful time there. We did a men's breakfast on the Saturday, well I did a men's breakfast on the Saturday morning and challenged the guys. And then we preached on Sunday, a wonderful time together, and so it was an awesome time all round, and I trust we helped move them a little bit on and forward and up in the things that God has for them and what He's called them to as a body of believers. So there you go. And so this morning, man, I'm just finished what God is doing and does. In the pre-service prayer meeting, I encourage you, I know I say this every Sunday, I encourage you, come along. Ken all but preached my title of my sermon in the pre-service prayer meeting. The words that came out this morning, that were brought forward, it excites me because of what it does for me. It sets up a platform for me to preach off. It's not like, well, geez, that was great. I got another word going in a totally another direction and now I've got to try and fit this all together. Anyway, having said that, we're at part three of Engineers of Influence. And so week one, we started with having a look at the broad stroke picture. Let's see if this thing's, there we go, it's all working. And there's seven facets, people say. And I said, no, there's actually only really six, because we trust that all of those facets are being impacted by the church, which is us. And wherever, whether we're in arts and entertainment, education, business, media, family, or government, we, the church, or our trust, are influencing those facets of society where we are, because these are the facets who shape and define our societal cultures and our bends. And we hope, where each one of us involved, that we are making a difference. Week two, Chris spoke about dismantling the beam in our eyes, in order that we may be engineers of influence. And he gave us three seeds, as he said, to plant them. And that was the fear of God, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and the communion as an invitation of come and be part of that. Did I get that right, Chris? Thank you. Excellent. Yeah, no, that's what you said. I listen. I make a point of it. So this morning, I want to talk about the ripple effect. The ripple effect. So we're going to dial it down a little bit more closer to home this morning, because it's great to have great big ideas, but it's also going to be a little bit personal to help us to advance the kingdom of God, because that's why we are here. And we looked at the big picture, and now, as I said, we're going to dial it down and open and expose things a little bit more, hopefully, in a good way, of course. And the question is, if you were a pebble that were dropped or thrown into a pond, you will make a ripple. That's given. The question is, what kind of a ripple are you going to make? Because, you know, we can give negative ripples and we can give positive ripples. We're just going to look at the positive stuff, man. There's too much negativity around. We just want to understand the positive stuff. But what kind of a ripple are you going to make? So if we were Bruce Lee, if I was Bruce Lee, we could be water. Water must flow and is shapeless and formless. See, I study stuff, eh? And if it goes into a cup, it becomes the cup. And if it goes into... Okay. I'd rather go with Mother Teresa. She said, I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples. And you might think, well, this thing is just too big for me. I can't change. No, you can. And you know, I've heard me tell the story of the guy on the walking on the beach with the starfish. And there's thousands of them on the beach. And he's picking up and throwing one into the beach. And he says, what are you doing? says, well, I'm throwing starfish back into the sea. So they, he says, you're not going to have any effect on this thing. He picked up, he looked at it, and he said, this one I will. And this one I will. Yeah. And so, wherever you are, let's make a change in where we are. So turn with me in your Bibles, because it's always good to preach out of the Word of God and not motivational speak. So I've got all the scriptures up. No, I haven't. Yes, I have. So we're going to have a look at some of the things here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. Now, what am I? You are the light of the world. We don't have to, well, I don't know too sure. I'm also a city set on a hill which cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. This is light that is life radiating, or life rippling, light rippling, if we can see it into that aspect. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we do your good works, that not for yourself, not so that I feel important, not so, well, gee, nailed it, I'm good at that. It's actually got to be so that my Father is glorified because you are alive. So if any of you think, well, it's just me and my spirituality and me and Jesus alone, wrong thinking. That's not what the Bible says. This is a very public thing. And thank you, Chris. And you say, may you see your good works, your random acts of kindness, your acts of kindness wherever you go. And it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever your act of kindness is, the good works that the Father set before you to do, radiates it. That's how Matthew said it. Let's have a look, if you flip over to the book of Luke. And I can't help myself. So old as the hills, that's Luke in the book. But anyway, I know it's not even funny anymore. And let's look at the part B of verse 48. It says, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. This is the kingdom view. This is kingdom view and kingdom readiness. And if you go back and you read, there's two parables before that, the rich fool, and then he's talking about, and Peter says, Jesus, is this just for us or is this for everybody? He doesn't actually answer the question. He goes on and he explains further. And he's talking about, the point is that some don't even recognize that we are engineers of influence. We don't even recognize that where we are meant to influence for the kingdom. And Jesus is saying here that we are to, when you have been given much, much will be required of you. Don't put up your hands. But if you have got talents and gifts and passions that God has given you to give to the world, how are you doing? Well, I get home late, and yeah, I know all that stuff. I used to do that stuff. I used to be that person. Yeah, but you're a pastor now. You don't understand. What, you think I lost my brain somewhere along the way? I checked it at the door? No, I understand perfectly. So let's have a look, one more. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 16. So a lengthy little piece of scripture we're going to look at. Acts chapter 16. Starting at verse 16. As we were going to the place of prayer, this is Paul and Silas going off to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. Now, if she got saved and followed Jesus, we'd say, oh, she's so prophetic. You don't just all of a sudden get prophetic. It's in our DNA. You either have the gift, or you don't have the gift. And some of us, we can prophesy, but we might not be standing in the office of being prophetic. So we all should be able to prophesy what Scripture tells us. So, but here we have this woman, but she's just batting for the other team. We've got to understand that. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaims to you the way of salvation. You go, look, she's helping them. No, she's not. She's actually condemning them as opposed, she's actually not commending them, she's actually exposing them because she bats for the other team. Anyway, and Paul gets mad about it, and having become greatly annoyed, can't get angry because he's a Christian, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and it came out that very hour. Now I want you to, as I'm reading this, look at the different ripples of effect that this story has. A lot has a ripple effect. Given much, much is going to be demanded, ripple effect. And here we have this woman going along as Paul and Silas are going up. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, big ripple, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they brought them to the magistrate, they said, these men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us, Romans, to accept or practice. Do you think they were on their side? Do you think this day that they were having was starting to look good? The crowd joined in another ripple, attacking them, and the magistrate tore the garments of them, big ripple, and gave orders to beat them with rods for the sake of the gospel. Anyone ever been beaten with rods for the sake of the gospel? No, me neither. Slam a door in your face or just tell you to get away from them. I'm just so depressed. They rejected me. No, they're rejecting Jesus. They're not rejecting you. Where am I? Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. This day is just, seriously, it's getting worse, right? Right? Yeah, okay, good. All right. I just want to know you're with me. About midnight, Paul and Silas were crying and whining and saying, oh, what a terrible day we've had. Look how we got beaten and now we're sitting in prison and now we've got guards guarding us. And not, yes. Give them a little bit of cheese with their wine there. And the prisoners were listening, and the midnight they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And the prisoners were listening to them. I want to say this to you. You can hashtag, tweet, whatever you like. On a bad day, when we respond in the right way, others will listen to us. On a bad day, when we respond in the right way, others will listen to us. Because could you imagine if they were bemoaning their fate? The other prisoners would have said, yeah, no, probably you deserve to be here just like us. But here these guys are praying and singing, and then we get the big heavenly ripple. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke, he shouldn't be sleeping, and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And the jailer called for light and rushed in, trembling with fear, and fell down before Paul and Silas, said, man, there was a great earthquake. How did that happen? What did you guys do to make that happen? No. Responded in the right way on a bad day. People were listening and understood something on a greater plane than they had ever understood before. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Let's just leave it there. And I told you all of that story to get to the word household. We've preached on this before, I know, but household, in this instance, we go, oh, that means just me and Bridget and Louise, and we're all cool in our little house. No, that's not what it means. It means in his oikos, those that he affects around him and touch them. We understand that everybody who's under your sphere of influence, in your relational sphere of influence, is your oikos. Understanding light on a hill, declaring the gospel, the goodness of God, giving a voice to that, understanding that given much to me, whatever God has given to you, much is going to be demanded. Now, when God first called me into the ministry, I made the silly thing. Lord Jesus, if you call me to the ministry, And of course, that is everything. We'll talk about that later. But I actually meant to the pulpit. I'll never ever turn down a preaching opportunity. And then in the middle of the Philippines, when I was exhausted, been ministering for 3 weeks on a trot, Bridget, I said, babes, don't let anyone know we're here. We're just going to scarve off and sleep. Did you think that happened? No. And I was like, no, babes, we're not doing that. The Lord just said to me, ding, ding. So we ended up ministering on this island in the Philippines again that night, and people got saved. Gave a prophetic word to the pastor. He fell off his chair and cried, and I was like, oh my word, okay, let me get back to preaching. Any place, any time, anywhere. Anyway, where am I? Responding well in a bad situation. See the household ripple effect. So now we want to look at three areas of this household effect. Number one, my connections. At the Bridge, we connect all people to encounter God's word and spirit. My connections, my people, younger people, my peeps. Within your zone of influence, who or where your connection of influence is. You know, sociologists. Bridget was telling me in the front chair, she'd be telling me, speak slow, Mark. Sociologists say that most people have 12 people in their influence. I'm not into Bible numerics, but just saying. They have 12 people in influence. What that means is people who you spend an hour with in a week's time. So in 7 days, you spend at least an hour concentrated with those people. And so we see that that's how your oikos thing from the sociologist. Wow. Thank you. Mouth dry. They have 12 people, and that is who you spend your time with. Sadly, it's in the front row here, Chris. Thank you. Sadly, they say that most fathers only spend 7 minutes a day. Thanks, bud. 7 minutes a day, in a week, 7 times 7 equals 49, which is not even 1 hour. You know what the good news is? We can change that. We can alter that stat. We can break that stat. We can change it completely. And we see that in Mark, Jesus speaking to the demonic from Gerasenes, he says, he didn't say to him, now listen, who are you? He says, we legion. He says, okay, get out and go into the pigs. He didn't say to him, oh, cool, now I'm free, and hey, I'm do this. He says, now go and tell people, turn or burn, go to hell. If you don't repent of your sin, you're in big trouble. Get your act together. No, he didn't say that. This is what he actually said. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you, or how much he loves you. That is part of our message that we have to give. Once we've seen the light, once we've connected with people, you know, and I know there's the old street corner preacher stand on the corner and thump the Bible and preach turn or burn. You know what I've come to realize? Well, I knew it in myself. You didn't have to tell me I was a sinner. I already knew that. You didn't have to tell me how bad I was. I already knew that. That's why I had these guilty feelings all the time. What I needed to understand, that there was a man called Jesus who loved me, who died on a cross for me. Vince, you're paying attention. He died on a cross for me. He was raised again for me. We had some fun yesterday. And so it's okay. The second thing we have to understand is my calling. What is your calling? My calling says that in Psalm 90 verse 70, it says, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And what are you saying? When God has called you to whatever part of his kingdom in those six spheres we saw, seven including the church, he's established this in you for you to do the works that you have. Wherever you are, you're not there just simply because I think it was a cool idea. Some of you think you have careers and jobs and you live places because you thought this all up along the way. I want to tell you, no, God placed you there. If you're a member, if you're a family member of this body of believers, God has placed you here. He has a purpose and a reason for you to be here. And we welcome the visitors to us here this morning. You might say, well, you don't understand, Mark. I'm just an admin clerk. Is that the way we say it here? Clerk? Clerk? A clerk? A clerk? There we go. Thanks, Jess. I'm just a clerk in an office, and it's not a very big office. No. God has placed you there. So I am an ambassador of the King in this sphere of influence here. And I'm here to bring light. And I'm here to drop a big rock and make a huge ripple. And I'm here to spread the gospel and people know the love of Jesus so that I may go home. Go home and tell your friends. Go to work and tell your friends how much the Lord has done for you and what He can do for them and how much He loves them. And what else He can do for us. Having a job and working is not just so you can pay the bills. I know we think of that one. Oh, hey ho, and off to work we go. You know? I have another song running in my head. I probably shouldn't sing it. I'm just a secretary. I'm just a housewife. No. You're an ambassador of the King. Placed in your neighborhood. To infect and influence those that are around you. You're a light on a hill. Much has been given to you. Much will be demanded of you. See the ripple effect. And He made from one man every nation of man to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. I mean, if most of you, who grew up in Pickering, Ontario here? 1, 2, 3, 4, a few of you. Who grew up in BC? Been out to BC? Yeah, some people say it's God's country, eh? Pretty. Nova Scotia? Very pretty. God placed me in Pickering. God brought me to Pickering. I love my place. I love the people. I love what God has called me to. I wouldn't change it for anything anywhere else in the world. Someone heard the other day that we ministered in Barbados for 3 weeks. What are you doing here? He said, God took us there to show us, teach us a lesson. Now He brought us to Canada so we can do something. Ripple effect. Everything is by God's design. He's calling for us, His place in person. We put it all together in your calling. Your vocation is your ministry location. In your vocation is your ministry location. But I want this ministry and I want that ministry. Take the ministry God has given you because that's the one you're going to excel at. That's the one God is. Vince Wamanu, be the best bus driver you can be, bro. I know he's like a half crazy evangelist. I mean, it must be amazing getting on his bus, seeing he's smiling. But hey, good morning. Jesus loves you. His vocation is his ministry location. That is his ministry. Besides being involved in many other places in the church. So we understand that where we connected in your household, your oikos, our connection, our calling. And our last one is our commission. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now when God has given us a commission, or we could also say a passion, what passion has He given you? What is your passion? As we say amongst our leadership here, what makes your eyes shine? What gives you shiny eyes? If you don't understand that, ask Michael afterwards. With your commission, God is supernaturally placed within you talents and passions. Sometimes we don't even understand them. I don't know why Alan gets shiny eyes straightening chairs on a Sunday morning. No, he doesn't know either. But if you want to see the tool that he developed for this thing, it scares me. In actual fact, someone came into the church once and stole it. He had to go make another one. I told you, I think the first time, I said, I just took two pieces of string and stick, you know, and like, okay, chairs are straight. But aren't you grateful that he does?
Oh, yeah.
Who likes to come into this place where the chairs are all squonk and untidy? And I hate it. We've got to be house proud. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing building, because that's all it is. Keep us dry and warm and cool and all that jazz. Sometimes we don't understand it. We just can't explain it. Yes, we know we are drawn to it. Alan, teach somebody else. Stay away. Oh, yeah. Places, people, city, nations. One of the people asked me often, why'd you come to Canada? Well, I don't know, but the first time, I've told the story before, we used to have a whole bunch of flags in our church, and we used to wave the flags in prayer time, and declare, and go crazy. And I went up and I grabbed this flag, and I started to wave it, and then I looked up to see what it was, and it was the Canadian flag, and I started to cry. And I broke down, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept. Bridget's like, what's wrong with you? Do you know where Canada is? God placed something in my heart for this country and its people. And that's why we came. Some people are drawn to street ministry. I'll pray for you every day of the week.
Yeah.
Sadly, though, some people are waiting for me to give them a program, or for the elders, the pastors, to give them a program and say, okay, we have the street ministry. No. Wherever you are, whenever you are, go out and do it. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it, of course. Come and speak to us and we will diligently pray. Some people are called to politics. I'm just being honest. I'm happy. I can't wait to get my citizenship that I can vote. But no, God doesn't call me to politics. Well, you should be involved in politics. Why? Have you been called to politics? Not you, Alan, just anybody. Alan's going. In case you're going into politics. But if you, whatever sphere you've been called to, be that light on a hill. Be that one that's bringing the change. Be the influencer. Create the ripple effect. No, once back in South Africa, this young guy kept coming to Steve, who was leading the church. I want to preach. So we said, okay. So took him down onto a street corner, gave him a soapbox, put him on a soapbox, said, preach. No, what he really wanted, he wanted Steve's pulpit. Wasn't what he was called to. We've got to know what we are called to. Then go and do it. And I've seen young ladies being called to street ministry. Stood there on her soapbox preaching. A guy walks past. Ah, what are you talking about? She said, sir. Said, your wife has left you. You have an alcoholic problem. Your wife has left you and your three kids have abandoned you and you don't have a job and you don't have a place to stay. That's quite brazen. Fell down on his knees there and confessed his sin. She said, how did you know all that? He said, the Holy Spirit told me. That's why I'm here this morning. I'm here for you, sir. Take your commission or your passion. Delight yourself in the Lord, we say. We think that delight. Do you know what that word delight means? It's not about your wants. It's not what I want. It's His wants. He will give you His wants, not what I aspire to, what I think I should have. And what it really means is when the bride dresses herself in her gown, those of you who have been brides, don't you shine on that day? I've never seen an unattractive bride. They all look beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I've seen broken, big, strong Bursians cry when their wives come down. She's so beautiful. That's what the word delight means. When a delicate woman dresses herself in a bridal gown, that's what that delight yourself in. That's what that means. He gives us the right or that righteousness once. God placed it there, so it's His right. Help yourself and be passionate about that. Suck the life out of it, if I could say that. Okay. Let me closing with the how do we do this? You know, not Howie Mandel, but Howies. The Howies. Oh, Vince got it. Cool, dude. yeah, the Howies. Three helpful tools. Number one, your manner. How many times did your parents or your mother say, mind your manners or watch your attitude? I don't know. My dad often said to me every now and then, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. I know you get into trouble here for that. So often we have a bad manner or a bad attitude simply because we are products of what we believe. I mean, I love the words that Louise and Jess brought this morning. This was speaking directly into that. We can only be a product of what we believe, what we hear, what people say over you, and you go, yeah. We got to learn to do some back chat. Wake up in the morning, enemy says to you, oh, you're not going to make it today. You feel a little bit depressed. Oh, yeah, no, I do. No, you go, hey, no. Wrong person. Go next door. I'm a son or daughter of a king. I am not depressed. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We will learn to do a little bit of back chat. You feeling sick today? Yeah, I do. Yeah. We're the kids. They're all out in Sunday school. Mommy, I feel sick today. I don't want to go to school. No, you don't. Go to school. How we go about things, our manners and our attitudes. If you're in it for yourself, let me just say this. If you're in it for yourself, you're trying to engineer influence for yourself, you're not going to go too far. You're not going to get to anywhere quickly. Think rather this way. Others are counting on me. I'm important to this picture. How many times have we preached this and said, I cannot be fully you, me, if you are not fully you. With us four pastors, elders in the church here, we are all totally differently gifted, but we complement each other. We're not the same. If they were all like me, how sad would it be? But we're not. We've got to see where our strength is, where our passion is, where my connections are, where my calling is, where's my commission. And we work together to make that. Given much, much will be demanded. How we go there. Think that others, I'm not an island and I don't have my celestial force revolving around me in the great cosmic place of this earth. No, I'm just part of the team. As I tell the elders and say, well, you're the crocodile, means the big crocodile. No, I'm not only the leader of this team, but I'm on this team. And we've got to understand that as the body of Christ here, we're individuals, but we are a team functioning together to advance the kingdom for the sake of the gospel. We want to be like Peter, step out the boat. But every time you want to attempt to step out the boat, you take your eyes off Jesus and the enemy says something to you, you go, oh no. And then we sing, I was sinking fast. Or fast, I was sinking fast. We will be distracted in an attempt to take your eyes off Jesus by the enemy. You end up in a position, I will only attempt anything when I've got this whole thing waxed. You know my answer is? See you in heaven. It's never going to happen. That's why you've got to risk. You take opportunities. I told you how naughty I was the time I went out to, I don't even know where I was, Edmonton. And the lady, the Lord told me to speak to her. I had a word for her. I knew she was a Christian because she had a Salvation Army uniform on. How easy can that be? And I'm like, because I know you don't believe me, but I actually really am a sharp person. And so they called for the plane. She got up and stood in front of me. And I'm like, go get in your plane, lady. She just stood there. And she looked down at me. She looked up and she looked down at me. Okay, God. And I gave her the word and she started to weep. I was like, They're like, what's that NCIS? Like Gibbs? Dish. I know you don't look at me. I know you all watch NCIS. Yeah, you do. I know. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Okay. Help me, Sherry, please. Sherry. I know. Yeah. And to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. That means we actually also got to work together, not just, well, I'm an island now, because that counteracts what I've just said. But we have to understand, to live quietly. Don't be, I'm a box with everybody. Well, you got to give everybody an answer. Now, if I'm talking, I say, well, we believe in the Bible, right, Sherry? Sherry, not Cherie. She was doing a great job. So I'll let you in on the secret. Yesterday we were chatting, and she said to me, she asked me a question about Jesus, and I said, who's Jesus? And so we're doing this whole thing now. I'm pretending I'm unsaved. And there was another young girl sitting there who knows what I do, and she's listening to the conversation, and her eyes were getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and like, and afterwards she saw I started to laugh. She said, I was so worried for a while. She says, because I couldn't believe what you were saying. I said, no, we were just, and she did really good. Anyway, now you know. It says we should aspire, and that word aspire is to make it your ambition to live quietly. And you know how we do that? The faithful presence will influence people more than anything else. Just faithful presence. When you're together with people, the faithful presence of God, because we know that God is with us. We two or three are gathered, therefore He is with you in the midst. Number one, I carry the Spirit of God within me, so where I go by myself, He's with me. And when we two or three are gathered together in agreement, then He is there in a greater measure. And we stand together and we talk together. Allow the faithful presence of God to come forth. The ripples of your manners will affect others. Okay, let's go on. Now this is the next one. Point two. Your moment. God's heavenly chessboard in action. His intersections of life. The way God orchestrates His symphony when two or more unsuspecting people collide in an arranged choreography of life. I mean, I wrote that down. I can't remember it all, so that's why I'm reading it. We call them divine God moments. God orchestrates and takes us like chess pieces and puts us here and puts you, and then we collide. And it's, what do we do when we collide? Not bad. Good collision, not a bad collision. When we stand together, when we come together, and God's arranged it. And I'm talking about when you go out afterwards, and you go out into the restaurant, and you go to coffee, and the waiter, waitron comes to you and starts talking to you. Allow the faithful presence of God to appear. Be generous in tipping them. No. Be generous on all occasions. Speak to them of the love of God. Talk to them. Whether it's the person at the grocery store, the doctor, the dentist, everybody needs Jesus. Years or months back, Kevin preached. You remember he did a little illustration? And how many people had never in our modern day, 21st century, modern day, 2014 it was, have never heard of the name of Jesus? I was shocked. But it's true. Don't always assume they've heard of Jesus and they know who Jesus is and all that kind of stuff. We need to understand it. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. I have my plans. I want to go my way. I want to do this and I want to do that. And God's saying, no, just walk with me. Walk with me, my son. I'm establishing your steps. Follow my steps. Holy Spirit, which way should I go? What do I do? What's my next step? Proverbs 16:9. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. I've got plans and a purpose for my life. You don't understand. We're a city on a hill. Man, Isaiah 60 says, arise and shine, for your light has come. I want to say this morning, shine, baby, shine. Allow His love to follow us. The last one is your message. Your message. Our message is not get your act together. Your message is not turn or burn. Your message is not if you don't do what I tell you to do, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. For those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the final end. We know that. But that's not our message. Sadly, the reputation of the church has been built on more of what we are against as opposed to what we've built on what we are for. We're not against people. Often we have to understand the spirit behind or operating in the person. It's not the person. 9 times out of 10, you've heard me speak of scotomas, blind spots. If you came to me and found a blind spot, I'd tell you, I don't do that. I said, no, you do all the time. I've never said that. Never is a long time. It's a blind spot because we don't see it. Allow others to speak into life. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Love. Do it with love. Your testimony or your story in 3 minutes or less. Now, you don't have to go on for 15, 20 minutes about your testimony. Because just as a hot tip, you can take it from me or not. By that time, the person you're trying to talk to is dialed out and thinking about their next DQ. You know, we say, I was like this, I met Jesus, now let me tell you about Him and what He's done in my life. Mark 5:19. Last scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I like to think of it this way. If I was in debt this big, and Jesus came and paid my debt in full, tetelestai, completely paid in full, I'm at ground zero. He has reconciled us to the Father. We are at ground zero to grow and to multiply and to mature into all things. Not worrying about that stuff. Every time we see Jesus in the Bible, when He met a sinner, what did He say to them? Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. I'm in debt. Jesus paid it all. I'm just going to sin, carry on. No, you probably never gave your life to Jesus the first time around, if that's your thinking. Where am I? Gave us the misery. That is in Christ. God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against Him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. He gave us this message to bring to zero, to bring to balance, where people are in debt, are enslaved, are engrossed with sin. Isn't that beautiful? Because we go and tell your friends the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us make a ripple effect. Take yourself and see yourself as that thing. You remember I preached that message, TGIM? Thank goodness it's Monday. I know, because we always go, oh, thank goodness it's Friday. Oh, yeah, I know. I'm dialed out for the weekend. No, man, we should be, thank goodness it's Monday. I can get to work. I can be the ambassador for the king. I can go and influence my area where I am. I can go and I can't wait to get to school on Monday. I can't get to wait to university. I can't get to wait to my shop on Monday. I'm going to be an ambassador because I'm a light on a hill. I'm not hidden. I'm throwing myself into this pool. I'm creating this ripple effect for the sake of the king and his kingdom. Do not our reputation be or more what we're against, but what we're for. That's our calling. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord God, and we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a good God, that you love us, Lord. We thank you that we have your righteousness imputed to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that we are in right standing with you. Thank you, Father, that you have given us a calling and a commission and connections, Lord God. Thank you that you have placed us wherever it is that you've placed each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for our connected community here. Thank you for our togetherness here. Father, we thank you just as much for our individuality and where you've placed us in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our jobs, wherever we are, Lord God. Let it never be said, I'm just a, ever again. Father, we stand and we walk and we say, I am so pleased, Lord God, that you've called me to this job, that you've given me this place. Father God, that I would extend your kingdom, that I would make a great ripple effect where I am. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name.